This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to the all-new Evening Edition. Caroline and Uma with you. Now, Malaysia will undergo its CEDAW review. That's a convention on the elimination of all forms of discrimination against women, on the status of human rights for women in the country. This will be along with Chile, Fiji, Luxembourg, the Marshall Islands, Republic of Korea, Saudi Arabia.
We are in good company.
We are. It's during the 69th CEDAW session on the 20th of February 2018. This is going to be Malaysia's second review since 2006, and it's taking place in Geneva. It's a really big deal, and we wanted to talk about it. So we have with us Sharina Sharif from Sisters in Islam, as well as Hani Tan, who is a human rights lawyer.
Welcome
to the show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much for having us here.
It's really good to speak to you about this, but tell people more about CEDAW. Why is it important? What is it?
Okay, so CEDAW is the Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. It's basically a human rights charter specifically for women's rights, for equality of women within the social environment, within the economic environment, as well as the family environment. So it's a critical document to raise standards and laws and policies within states and domestic levels to a level where, you know, women are empowered to achieve equality with men.
Right. And is this all women, or just Malaysian women or women in Malaysia? You know, so yesterday, or day before yesterday, rather, we read some horrible, horrible reports about Adelina, 21-year-old domestic worker, who was, well, pretty much tortured to death from those reports. And she went through a terrible time with her employer. Would something like this apply
protect
to her,
her
as well?
I would say yes, it does. But maybe just to backtrack a little bit, like CEDAW is actually like a Bill of Rights. Mm. It's an international law. Mm. So international law will usually work in a country if, say, for example, where there's a gap.
Right.
But we already have sufficient laws in Malaysia to actually deal with issues like this. Mm-hmm. But the value add for CEDAW is actually putting the standards a bit higher.
Right.
So we won't have this issue of, you know, say, for example, does the law cover only all Malaysian citizens or everybody
right.
in Malaysia? So it's quite clear that CEDAW talks about actually women. So women, wherever you are, and if in this particular case where the foreign domestic worker was essentially murdered, you know, so she would be covered.
Right. So what then is the significance of this review that's happening on the 20th of February? I mentioned that the last one was in 2006, 12 years ago.
Yes, so it's been 10 years since the review. The state Malaysia in this instance has missed a few rounds of reviews. So we were very excited when we were given the chance to attend the next review. So
Why have we missed it? Do we know?
I would say to me, that shows the lack of commitment by the government. That's
right.
why we missed it.
Right.
You see, if you want to compare the other international process that we are very closely engaged with, which is the Universal Periodic Review Process, the UPR, we never miss that.
Hmm.
Why don't we miss it? Because it's done by the UN Human Rights Council, which
right.
is a political process.
Hmm.
So everybody, all the countries that are represented there, the representatives all have ambassador status.
Right.
And it's in the world stage. And if you compare like CEDAW and other sort of convention-based committees, they are formed with experts. So the people who are going to be reviewing Malaysia are experts. And even if you just look at the whole physical thing about where the CEDAW committee review is being held versus where the UN Human Rights Council is being held, I mean, the room in which our UPR process is actually done, it's beautiful and huge.
Hmm.
CEDAW
so there's
committee,
a bit of glamour to that as well, right?
No, correct. So it just goes to show, I think, where maybe like the government thinks that, because CEDAW is not diplomatic.
Right.
It's an experts process. Hmm. And the questions are more pointed and the comments and suggestions are less You know, in the politically, you know, acceptable language.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, they're actually functional and practical. Yeah. Things that you can actually implement.
Yeah. But I think this is the idea. The idea is to show the commitment of the government to women's issues. This is something that we haven't seen. I mean, the lack of reporting.
The problem is because the CEDAW committee will only review if the government puts in a report. Mm. The UPR will review you whether you have put in your report or not, or even whether you're present or not.
Right. So very much a reflection of priorities, unfortunately. So I interrupted you a little earlier. Which key issues will be highlighted in this review?
So the CEDAW covers a whole range of issues, and we've brought up issues in every area, really, that is covered under the articles of CEDAW. Our basic issue is that we have seen very little progress over the years. So the last reporting was in 2005, and the CEDAW committee then came out with some recommendations shortly after. And when we looked at the list of recommendations, hardly any was adopted. In fact, I think in the area for women that are regulated under the Islamic family laws, in fact, there has been a deterioration, a law reform that has caused significant deterioration to the position of Muslim women in Malaysia. So it is so all-encompassing, impacting equal basic issues like equal pay, access to justice, I think you've mentioned migrant workers, et cetera, including family, domestic violence,
and other forms of violence against women. So one of the other key areas and key messages that we're going to be putting out is also now violence against women is not just in the real world. We also have it, and it sometimes it's even worse in cyberspace.
Because,
you know, once you're there, you're never forgotten. No matter how hard you try to delete, remove, whatever, it's there. So sometimes that impact can be worse.
And also with a lot of situations like that, it feels like the authorities don't have the tools in place to act on it. They were like, well, someone's just called you a name. Nothing
has happened. There are certain circumstances where they have chosen to act. But what we find is that where it's women involved, where it's a gender discrimination sort of violence that is exhibited, very little action is taken. We've had people online being threatened with rape, with murder, and the, no action
I think
action
the big
whatsoever.
Problem here is actually kind of very bread and butter legal issues, evidence. How are you going to gather your evidence? Because, you know, our Evidence Act is actually quite archaic. You know, and it's completely not able to cope with the modernity and the varieties of crimes that are now happening. So
what do you see then? You see us going into denial because we don't know how to gather the evidence?
No. I think we should look at, amending our laws. Mm. And also training our lawyers, training our prosecutors, training the judges. Mm. That's so important.
Yeah. So now one of the concerns, I mean, you guys mentioned domestic violence. It seems to be the one thing that's made some progress in Malaysia. The amended DV Act 2017 has come to effect this January and has proven to be quite a substantial law. Is it fair to say that there's actually nothing really holding us back to push through these laws except maybe political will?
I think that, and also the other problem with legal reform is sometimes it's not the substance of the law that's the problem. You need to look at the context within which the law is being put into place and being enforced. So for example, like, you know, if you have some a domestic violence issue happening, and if you go and make a police report, so your front desk officer might just say, kena pukul ke? Ada darah. Then apa you buat untuk you punya suami pukul you? Mm. You know, so the whole victim blaming, and I'm not even sure whether they are fully aware of, you know, interim protection orders and things like that were actually meant to protect people who are suffering from domestic violence, male or female. Mm. Right. Yeah. So it's not just a woman thing.
So in our experience, we have a lot of women coming to us seeking advice where they have marital breakdown. And the majority are because of domestic violence. And I think another issue with domestic violence where it is unsatisfactory is, for example, where you have intimate partners. So, you know, nowadays they might not be married, but they may be closely associated, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, that kind of thing. And there is violence happening even before marriage. And that is something that they will not have any recourse at this point in time. And another area that I think which is critical and is completely unrecognized in Malaysian law is marital rape. So there is no such thing as marital rape in Malaysia. Once you're married, the assumption is that the man will have all sexual access to you
and then everything is consensual.
That's right.
Yeah. So actually, in fact, if you want to deal with marital rape, it's actually quite simple, because all you need to do is for Parliament to remove the exception in Section 375 of the Penal Code, which talks about a man having sexual intercourse with a wife is not rape. You see how neutral the language is? There's no sense of violence, of lack of consent, and that's the key thing. But the other thing which...
Yeah, disassociating sexual intercourse with rape.
Yeah, correct. So the other thing which is very important as far as domestic violence is concerned is also the issue of stalking, right? So especially cyber stalking.
And it's
quite surprising. We can't understand why it is that the government is so resistant to enacting laws on stalking, especially stalking in cyberspace, which is actually very prevalent nowadays, you know. So a few like huge gaps are still like, you know, staring us in the face.
All right. We've got today Sharina Sharif and Hani Than with us talking about the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. Malaysia is under review. After this, we're going to be talking about the impact that this review might have. Caroline and Uma with you on the all-new evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good evening. You're listening to the all-new evening edition. Caroline and Uma with you. We're having a conversation about a review on women's rights in Malaysia, in particular CEDAW, the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. There's going to be a review on the 20th of February this year. And to talk about that, we've got Sharina Sharif from Sisters in Islam, as well as Hani Than, who's a human rights lawyer. Thank you for sticking around.
Thank you for us back here to talk about CEDAW.
All right. So now one of the big issues with this is citizenship for children here in Malaysia. Talk to us about that.
Right. One of the big issues, which is, we've talked about it for many, many years. So if you are a Malaysian woman married to a foreign man and you deliver your child outside Malaysia, your child does not become a Malaysian automatically. Mm. So the government's position is that, what's the problem? Apply lah, we give to you. But if you are a man married to a foreign woman, your wife can have a child anywhere.
Right.
And will automatically be a Malaysian citizen. So why do you make, you know, a Malaysian woman apply, which then implies that there is possibility of your child being rejected, you know, as far as becoming a Malaysian citizen is concerned.
Historically, do we know why that's the case?
Because we believe that, the whole legal philosophy is that the wives will follow the husband's domicile and all that. In fact, that is still the law in Malaysia. So the big Ku Kei Ping case kind of like cemented that to say that, you know, your wife's domicile follows the husband. Mm. So this is how it all came about.
Right. Yeah. Which is obviously just completely inapplicable in 2018.
It shouldn't
make any sense anymore.
Yeah.
Citizenship aside, I mean, I guess when it comes to Muslim family law as well, the guardianship of a child and a woman's role in that is also something that you guys are fighting for.
Yeah, perhaps just as an overview, I think Muslim family law generally, its core foundation is not based on equality in marriage. So the position of the woman and the man is completely unequal, and it affects every single right. It affects their right to marry. You know, a Muslim girl needs a wali to get married. It affects their divorce rights. The husband can unilaterally divorce, but the wife cannot do so. And in the area of children, it affects their guardianship, their legal guardianship over the child. Now, this is not the same situation under civil law, which governs non-Muslim marriages and children. So a lady can be a legal guardian under civil law, but under Muslim law, that you know, in the same country, we have different rights for different women according to religion.
So a Muslim mother is never the legal guardian of her own child?
That's right. So
yes,
if it's not the father, if the father were to die, it's the father's father. So if the grandfather, the paternal grandfather were to die, then it'll be the executor of the paternal grandfather's estate. So it goes on like the male lineage like that, you know. So That's the
male lineage, and the same happens in inheritance in so many different areas. So I think one of the issues that we need to communicate and demand from the government is this law reform to make women equal to men within the family and the marriage. It's critical.
I think
now.
One key point that we also need to point out is that you know, in certain other countries around the world, this issue does not arise. In some countries, in some Muslim countries, you don't need a wali for the woman to marry. There's equal inheritance, you know. So, you know, like fathers and mothers can be equal guardians. So why are we not looking at more progressive interpretations of certain religious, you know, schools or thoughts, you know? So that's something I think that we really should think about. And I think Musawa is doing like a great job in trying to bring in more progressive interpretations and based on equality, justice. You know, I think that's really important.
I think what's necessary to realize is that the Quran and it allows for justice to be applied to every Muslim, and this is not reflected within our laws here in Malaysia. Laws are man-made, so you know, if it doesn't result in justice, then it's time to relook it and reform it. Now, the other sad thing really is that in 1984, Malaysia had one of the most progressive Islamic family laws in the world, and since then we've had two rounds of law reform, and the situation of Muslim women is extremely discriminated as of today
and regressed.
And speaking of making laws, where do you see the government's role in this?
The government has to respond to our situation, because I think what value we can bring forward is we can bring the lived realities of women. We know the experiences of women. We deal with them on a daily basis. So it is time for them to realize that certain laws create injustices, and that they have to provide either differentiation, the reform to the laws, or some affirmative action to allow for that equality to
The women's groups can assist also is in terms of, you know, sharing with the government good practices from around the world.
Right.
And to say that, you know, this is not the only way. This is not the only interpretation. Look at X country, Y country, you know. So I think that is our strength, because the Women's Coalition is like, you know, global in that sense.
Have you seen anything encouraging to that effect?
Sherry?
I think our general assessment is that the situation is getting worse for women this country.
With that in mind, what impact do you hope this review will have?
Well, I think the good thing about Malaysia is that it wants to play a role in the international arena. It wants to be perceived as a modern, moderate Muslim country.
Progressive as well.
And progressive. All of those things. Good things and good goals and good aims, right? So if you say that, then we want to hold you accountable, and you must meet certain standards so that you can continue to call yourself that and be a broker in the international arena. You know, if you want to say that you're progressive and you're modern and you're moderate, then be it.
So if gender equality is important to you, you're modern, you're progressive, you support women's rights, you want to follow this Twitter handle, it's at CEDAW Malaysia, CEDAW Malaysia. There's also a hashtag that you can follow.
Two hashtags
that you can follow, and this will be happening during the sessions?
Correct. On February 20th, you can hashtag CEDAW Malaysia and CEDAW Agenda Gender. I like that a lot. That's very, very smart. Ladies, all the best to you and for this review as well. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you.
Thank
all the
you.
Best
we
to Malaysia.
Hope to be coming home with very good news.
Well, we hope so too. Yeah. We hope so too. Sherita Sharif and Hani Than have joined us to talk about CEDAW. Don't forget those hashtags and Twitter handle as well.
And we'll catch you when you come back.
We will definitely catch you when you come back.
Thank you.
All right. Thank
all right.
You.
You're
bye
listening
bye.
To the all new evening edition. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.